and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. My guest today is Chin Jiawei. She's a Principal Research Associate at ASEAN Research Center and Asia School of Business. And she recently presented her published research on Malaysian youth and their entrepreneurial pursuits based on data from RISE programs. Now, RISE stands for Rapid Youth Success, Entrepreneurship and Employability, and is a research and social outreach program which aims to promote upward mobility for Malaysian youth. Jiawei, thank you so much for being on the show today. Welcome, and thanks for joining me. I'm hoping, before we delve into the findings of your research, if we could maybe begin our conversation today by getting some of your thoughts on the context of youth entrepreneurship in Malaysia. How would you describe the current landscape based on your observations? Where are we at here in this country?
Okay, thank you for having me. Okay, so from our interviews with our participants from our various programs, they want to be in business for various reasons. So one of it is, yes, they will want more autonomy in their life. Mm. Because in having a business, you can set your own schedule, you are responsible over your own sections, and whatever you earn is based on your efforts. So that is one type of lifestyle that some of the youths want. But for some of them, such as in maybe rural areas or areas that are not so, how to say, privileged. Mm. Okay. Employment opportunity there might be a bit scarce, or even if they are employed, the salary might not be that sustainable. So they might need to resort to having a part-time business and so on to supplement the income.
Mm. Okay. So youth are generally open to the idea of entrepreneurship, but there are varying motivations or reasons why they would consider it. Talk to me about what you have found as maybe the motivations, the drivers that encourage youth to form these types of entrepreneurial intentions.
Okay, like just now I mentioned, so there were some who want to have more autonomy in their life. Entrepreneurship is kind of like a lifestyle for them. So when we interview them on what kind of business they want in the future and how they're going to do it, their aspiration is much more larger, as in they're hoping to have franchise in the future, they're hoping to have, more financially secured. But then when we move on to participants or youths who prefer to have a side business, in a way they, the type of business they would prefer is much different from the youths who want it as a lifestyle. So these youths who prefer a smaller business, as a part-time business, they are, the range is very limited. Mm. So in that sense, they could have done more, but then maybe it's not the lifestyle that they would want. So the type of resources they would need is very different between these two youths, which is actually very similar to one of our findings from, we compare teenagers from KL and Sempona.
Okay.
So from the KL youths, they see entrepreneurship as a possible full-time career, something that can lead to a very, grandiose life aspirations, being able to treat their parents well, being to live a comfortable life. But when it comes to the Sempona youths, a majority of the family members actually has some experience in entrepreneurship, and they themselves have some exposure to it, like helping in their business and so on. But even with their very positive view of entrepreneurship, you know, being able to do it in the future, but they don't really see it as a viable full-time career. They would prefer employment. Just an example. So I remember this girl, she said that since young she wants to be an air stewardess, but then for some reason that she might not be able to be one. So she would think of entrepreneurship as a backup option.
Right, as a fallback plan.
Yes, as a fallback plan. While another would be, they kind of like predicted that in the future that their income might not be enough to sustain their daily-to-daily expenses. So to bridge that gap, they would need another side business to help complement. So it's a very strange thing. One of our hypotheses is that because in rural areas, the median household income is lower, and then the employment opportunity might be not as good as in urban areas such as KL. They are already exposed to necessity entrepreneurship, which means that they have business out of needs. But then normally this kind of business is like in the informal sector or having small type of businesses online. As you can see through TikTok, even though some of them they did it really well. In TikTok, in Shopee. But when it comes to KL youths, they think about like having hotel chains, restaurant chains. So there's a very big difference.
The aspirations are bigger, are grander compared to. Talk to me about that. What did that research tell you, the findings of that research? Why in some areas the dreams are bigger than in other areas where entrepreneurship is essentially a second job to survive?
So in a way is the rural areas there, I mean, at least for our participants from the rural areas, they have a more realistic or more pessimistic view of on both entrepreneurship and employability. But then when it comes to KL, they are much more optimistic of it. And then in academic literature, the higher aspirations, the bigger your drive to get to that goal. So if your drive is very low, you might just settle for a more attainable goal, which is having a small business or focus on your stable career, even though it might not give you the life that you want initially. So without that aspiration, without that drive, they might not give that much effort into it.
Okay.
But then sometimes it's just the resources in KL and I mean urban areas and rural areas are so different.
When you say resources, what do you mean by that, Jiawei?
Not only like we normally heard about X amount of money or budget going towards education and some going to entrepreneurship. And recently I read that some money is going to micro entrepreneurs. But then some of these funded activities are in urban areas. Of course, there are some in rural areas, but I would say, because we found that through our participants, they might not know of it. We're not saying that they don't have, they might not know.
There's a knowledge gap.
Yes, a knowledge gap. And also, when it comes to aspirations, it's kind of like an orientation towards desired future, which is based on your personal preference, your social network, your family, your surroundings, your teachers, and on the larger context, which is on the economic and cultural context.
Right.
So if your parents or teachers are not aware of this, there's a high chance that the students might not be aware. While in the urban areas, there are so many sources of information.
Okay. I want to pull on that thread and ask you about the importance of these social networks, of support networks, when it comes to young Malaysians forming entrepreneurial intentions and then making that, as your research says, making that leap into action. How much does that factor into young people's decisions of becoming entrepreneurs and also entrepreneurial outcomes? Because it's one thing to have the intention and then make it into action, but it's another thing to succeed in that action, right?
Yes. We found that social network has actually played a very big role. Mm-hmm. So we have another program called Tau Ke Talks. So it's basically
Tau Ke Talks? That's cute.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, so it's basically RISE interview Malaysian micro-entrepreneurs on how they get into business and what's their motivation on. So throughout all the interviews, we have interviews around like 80 plus micro-entrepreneurs we found that social network or friends or family, their role is very prominent in how they start their business. Okay. So they support in three ways. So one is giving financial support and practical help, such as helping in business operations, mm-hmm. or sometimes helping in, how to say, bounce ideas on how to get on with the business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they also can provide social connections. So maybe the friends and family, they do not have these resources to help, but then they know someone who could help. Mm-hmm. So some of our participants, or they actually get resources on, how to say, mentorship through their friends' friends, or friends' mentors, and so on. They also can promote their business through these connections. So that's one way to go on. And then last would be helping in forming their passion. So at least in our participants, when it comes to micro entrepreneurs, we found that passion really matters. Not only passion for entrepreneurship, but passion for their products and services. So in a way, having a business is kind of like a medium for you to delve into your hobbies or your interests other than having a business, such as handicrafts, your love for technology, and so on. It's kind of like a way to, make money on your passion.
I understand what you mean. Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, Jiawei, but let's come back and talk more about what you hope the implications, the findings of your research will change in terms of policy and government support for youth entrepreneurship. We'll come back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me today is Chin Jiawei, who is a Principal Research Associate at ASEAN Research Centre and Asia School of Business. She recently published her research on Malaysian youth and their entrepreneurial pursuits based on the RISE programmes. Jiawei, talk to me about the research. What did you find an interesting finding that came out from all the work that you put in?
Okay. Yeah, actually there's something very interesting which we haven't published yet, which is on gender differences in entrepreneurial intention. Mm. So in our programs, we did ask our participants in the survey on how strongly you want a business and so on. We found that there are no significant differences between male and female participants.
So were you expecting there to be differences?
There are mixed findings in the literature. Some would say that men have stronger inclinations, but then some would say there are no significant differences. So we are wondering, like, it could be go both ways. Mm. So we look through our interviews on what's the differences between these two gender groups. Mm. We haven't really gone through all the interviews yet, but then from what I remember was the type of business ideas are different from our female and male participants, as in when it comes to our female participants, they are more on passion from their hobbies, trying to extending their hobbies into a business, mm. using that as a medium to delve further into that hobby or passion, such as handicrafts, bakeries, and so on. But then when we interview some male participants, their business idea is more, on a larger scale. So there were some, they wanted to have an app to use in a housing real estate, which would definitely need more investment in terms of technicals, financial resources, specialties, and so on. But it's not so, their focus is not on their passion in that field. Mm. It's more like they see the gap in that market, and they see that this could be a viable option for this business idea.
Why do you think that is?
Sorry?
Why do you think there is that difference that you saw that maybe women tend to focus more on a hobby or something that they're already doing, whereas some of the male participants looked at areas maybe they weren't even in tech, but you know, thought about an app or what? Why could you maybe posit whatever you think is the reason as to why?
Mm-mm. Yeah, so these results are in youths who are in the age range of 18 to 28. Actually, these results was also seen in our interviews with 16-year-olds. So the male teenagers, they also think about how to earn money through this business. While the female teenagers, they were thinking about more on, hey, I really like Tudong and I really want to have a business on it. I think in one way it could be on some, when we are brought up. So our career aspirations or our ideas for future business are always changing when we develop a sense of identity. So that sense of identity in a way is influenced by our surroundings, friends and family and so on. So when we are growing up, it could be that because we have always seen that males had to be responsible for the financial section of the household. So maybe from that, they were like, I have to earn more money from that.
Okay.
And so in that case, social status is a bit different.
Right. There are cultural, societal norms,
yes,
that feed into forming entrepreneurial intentions.
Mm-mm.
I want to zoom out a little bit, Jiawei, and ask why this is an important topic for the Asia School of Business, for RISE to focus on. Why is it important that we upskill or give the skills needed to young people to pursue entrepreneurship if that so is their intention?
Okay, there's a difference between I can have a business and I don't want to have a business. Okay, so through the training of entrepreneurship and also employability, even if they have bigger aspirations, such as having several multiple franchises and so on, but then at least with that training, they have the confidence to go out there. And not only that, sometimes even entrepreneurship is very big on the problem-solving mindset, which can be transferable across other fields, even in your workplace and so on. So through training these youths, okay, there are different sets of problems in urban settings and also in rural settings. So even if the market there might be small in rural areas, but they can focus on how to solve the problem there and then how to monetize on it. So even though they might be dealt with different sets of cuts of life in different areas, but then we are trying to give them teach them on how to play their cards right. And even if they fail, they will know how to fail forward, know how to build on how to do better in the future. So that's our goal in having programs, and also through research, we get to know our participants and we will know what to do in the next program. We can modify the program according to their current needs.
Do you think that the youth of today are equipped to face the challenges of the business world? I'm wondering because there are so many youth entrepreneurial training programs out there, but I'm keen to understand, are there gaps within these training programs that you and your team maybe have seen, have identified, that you think maybe there are specific skill sets that Malaysian youth might need that aren't currently being taught to them?
From what I know is some of the entrepreneurial training programs are more towards on bigger businesses. So when we went through the program in like Sanakan and Sempona, okay, we found that some of the concepts or some of the training in KL is a bit different in their context. So in that sense, there's a need for having more in-tune research in areas outside the urban. So that we know that actually what do they really need? Because sometimes we thought that, okay, Because the business model canvas, some of the participants in the urban area, they are already familiar with it on like what's their target product, their target audience, how to calculate what price should they give up for their products.
Yeah.
But it's a bit different from in the urban setting. They might not be that trained. Mm. It's more like they can do it, but then when you apply the same concept in KL, they don't know about it anymore. Actually, they know. When we teach topic by topic, by section, they know what we're talking about. But then when we put on the same term, it's suddenly very foreign to them. So we have to localize all our teachings.
Right, localize the teachings. Okay.
Yes.
What would you like policymakers to take note of, or the people who make these decisions of what kind of training programs are put out there? What would you like them to change, to improve, based on the research and observations that you have come to?
For me, I think that having changes from the policy side would be very important.
Mm.
I think that we also can start from a smaller scale, such as when we're having these kind of programs, we can have collaboration with the teachers or the universities or lecturers to see how to prolong the program impact in their daily teaching. So actually this idea was from, we talked to some of the teachers in Sempona. So they kind of asked us on, after this program, is there anything that the teachers can learn so that they can, you know, do it in their classes? Because they found that after the program, the students are much more active in their class. So they're very eager to learn on how to continue that. So that's one thing we can do. So other than teaching the students, we also can guide the teachers on how to do that in the classes, the content.
And what about RISE? What are you hoping RISE achieves? And what kind of impact are you hoping to achieve through the work, and how can you scale up that impact?
Horizon. One of our mission is to promote youth economical mobility. Upwards. Mm-hmm. So through that, we wish to have a larger outreach. Currently, we have programs in KL and also in some parts in Sabah. But we should have further collaboration with other areas. One of it would be at the east coast of Peninsula Malaysia. Because we mentioned is we had to localize some of our content. We hope that through interviewing and comparing different rural areas, we will know, so this program would work here and then would not work here and so on. So actually we wish to explore more to extend our reach currently.
Well, I wish you all the best with that. Thank you so much for being on the show, Joey. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.